The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe in the Creator and you die as an unbeliever, you will live for a very long time as an ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you're an unbeliever and you're just walking through life thinking that something good's going to happen to you at the end of your life, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's going to be really, really, really unpleasant. If you're a believer without any form of relationship with Father, in other words, that you believed and you think that you're now once saved, always saved, and you can just carry on living life the way you did before you believe, I've also got bad news for you. You're going to end up in the outer darkness, a place which is cold, black, dark, terrible, the trash heap of heaven. Because Father has said concerning such people, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? So my message today is about seeking a deep personal relationship with the Father. We're talking about a diversity of subjects that impact us. Tonight we're going to talk about the Virgin's Covenant, which is critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. All of this discussion is in the context that the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks a relationship with me. Tonight's program, we're going to look at the Virgin's Covenant as being critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. We'll discuss why there is no such thing as sex before marriage. We'll discuss the Virgin's Covenant in some detail. We will look at the default terms of the Virgin's Covenant for men and the default terms of the Virgin's Covenant for women. We'll ask whether there is a way out. We'll look at the way out for a woman and the way out for a man. We'll discuss what to do once one has cleaned up. And we'll note that it is not about all the other stuff we hear about in our world. We note the added complexity of the Isaiah 4:1 factor. And in closing, we'll ask about your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for 25 years. And more recently, I've been a business executive in the UK for nearly 7 years. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. Sam said, thank you for answering my question. Pleasure, Sam. Hope you're here with us today. Sam then asked, how is it that you know this name? This is referring to the name Yah. Well, basically what happened was that towards the end of 2000, somebody sent me an email about the true name of the Almighty being Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. I researched that a bit, found that that the Hebrew texts on which the Old Testament was based supported that, and therefore I started to call him Yahweh. As I progressed, I became aware of the fact that Yah, as in Hallelujah, which means praise Yah, but Hallelujah, so the Yah being distinct, and that the name Yah occurred in many other words in the Old Testament, in Hebrew words in the Old Testament. Also became aware of the fact that the phrase Yah, translated as Yahweh, actually means Yah, the eternally self-existing. And so over a couple of years, I came to understand that the true essential name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, Y-A-H. Ben asked, what did you do for him to come to you? What I did was I got my life into a mess. I'd been in adultery with another man's wife. I found that I was deeply in love with her. My wife kicked me out of the house, and I was in a hotel considering suicide. My parents were both believers, and they were praying earnestly for me. And in response to their prayers for the Father to turn my situation around, he spoke to me. Grace spoke last week about meditation, said, I'm not sure I'm getting anything from the meditation. Grace, as I said, I would rather worship. If you're not getting anything from the meditation, then stop meditating. Some people do. Some people get very close to Father in meditation. There are some disciplines and some groupings that put a lot of emphasis on meditation. I've certainly had times when I've got very quiet and listened to Father and experienced his presence. But I'm not a great believer in meditation. I would much rather worship. There's a collection of worship songs on the website under recommended worship that I would strongly recommend that you use. Roberta said, thank you. Well, thank you, Roberta. Jasper asked, I believe that book is a form of control used on people, referring to the Bible, I guess. Jasper, the book itself is not a form of control. The book is largely a collection of fragments of historical writings about the lives of people who've believed and had some sort of relationship with Father. Where it becomes a form of control is where human beings, assisted by the demonic, use it to manipulate and control people. So this thing about the Bible says, and if you don't know the Bible inside out and back to front, you're not actually going to be accepted by Father. As I've said a couple of times in this program over the last year and a half, the Bible is no more than a history book. 2.5% of the Bible is inspired. The rest is just the record of history by ordinary human beings. It's not particularly anointed. It's not particularly inspired. It's just a historical book. Its preservation, when it was originally collated, was at some level miraculous, which is why people think that it's the Word of God and that it's very special. And in some respects, at that age, it was special. But in the current age, there are hundreds, probably thousands, of books by anointed believers at different levels, in different faiths, in different groupings, that are worth reading as much as, or if not more than, the Bible. I've just published 15 books, a total of about 9,000 pages. They're available to download off the website. And if you want physical copies, you're welcome to contact me free of charge. And those books are, I testify, inspired at a material level and anointed at a material level. So there's a huge amount of other information. Do not allow people to tell you, because you don't know the Bible inside out, that you're somehow inferior. It's just not true. Hector asked, what other sources are you getting information? Hector, until I started really fasting and praying and seeking truth in the latter part of 2000, I was relying largely on other people for my information. In the next few years, I operated on a basis of some level of personal insight, personal inspiration, and what others were saying. And since about 2010, pretty much everything that I've written, and I've written thousands of pages since 2010, pretty much all that I've written has been given to me directly by Father. So I pray about something, and then I get a revelation, and I document that. So as I testify in my books, and as I said a minute ago, a lot of my writings are, I believe, significantly reliable. So tonight's program, The Virgin's Covenant, is critical to understand sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. One of the most difficult to explain human organs is the hymen, the membrane that partially seals the entrance to the vagina of a girl or young woman whose vagina has never been penetrated. It appears to serve no useful purpose. In the day-to-day existence of someone who does not believe in the Creator and does not seek to live life according to His commandments, this membrane certainly serves no useful purpose. However, once one understands its real purpose, it becomes apparent that the hymen is a critically important organ in the plans of the Creator for men and women. The hymen evidences that the woman has never engaged in sexual intercourse, and it is therefore spiritually safe for a man to join himself to her. If she has already joined herself to another man, and she now joins herself to a further man, both she and the new man are committing adultery. And if they are believers, they will both face a period in the place of correction known as hell after they die. This is unless she is divorced in the court of heaven. When a man penetrates a virgin for the first time, blood is shed and ushers in a lifetime blood covenant, in terms of which she accepts responsibility for the well-being of the he accepts responsibility for the well-being of the woman for life, and she accepts that she is one with a man for life and accepts his covering. Virginity is an extremely important gift from the Creator and must be given wisely if one is truly committed to serving him. There are prayers that can be prayed and measures that can be taken in certain cases where virginity has been given or taken unwisely. More detailed discussion to follow. In April 2011, I wrote an article, "There is no such thing as sex before marriage." In that article, I said, I keep encountering people who talk about sex before marriage as though there is such a thing. Fact is that before Daddy Yah in the court of heaven, there is either, one, sexual intercourse with a virgin, widow, or truly divorced woman, which equals a lifetime covenant before Yah, which approximates this pagan thing we call marriage, but can take place without any ceremony, and where it's possible for more than one woman to join to one man. Point number two, the same sexual intercourse following some form of ceremony or public taking of vows, which hardly ever happens today. Generally, the couple have intercourse before the ceremony. So the ceremony is not marriage. It's just a ceremony. Thirdly, sexual intercourse by a man with any other woman is adultery. And if she has had multiple partners, it's fornication. It applies to the vast majority of legal and church marriages today, and it results in a guaranteed part in hell if they're believers, and a time in hell for the pastor or magistrate or other person who performs the ceremony and purports to stand in the place of Yah. That's it, folks. There are no other options. This is so important. You may well be choking on what I'm saying for a whole lot of different reasons. The fact of the matter is today we do not know how to have relationships between men and women the way Father Yah intended it. So please keep an open mind and just stay with me as I develop this presentation. In October 2013, I wrote an article called The Virgin's Covenant, which is the basis of the rest of tonight's broadcast. At the time of writing that article, I had been contacted by a number of women who were in abusive marriages, asking what they should do. In each case, on inquiry, it turned out that the man who took the virginity was not the man they were legally married to, and they were still in contact with the man who took their virginity. The simple answer in each case was that, notwithstanding whatever church or civil marriage rite they had been through with their present man, also known as husband, they were still in covenant with the first man in the sight of Yah and in the sight of the spirit world. And therefore they were in adultery with the man they called husband, with the result that spiritually these men were entitled to treat them roughly, because they were legally, spiritually, regarded as whores in the spirit realm, and the satanic and specifically demonic realm therefore had full legal right to attack their unions and the woman. The further theoretically simple answer was that they should both return to the man who took their virginity. The problem with this answer was that our society does not understand it or agree with it, and in one case it would have meant the man having two women, because he was living with another woman whose virginity he had also taken, and there was no way that other woman was going to share her husband. So, folks, this is really complex. The thing to remember is that the satanic and demonic realm is very legalistic. If you're breaking one of these laws, and you're a believer, they will do everything they can to attack you and take you apart. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you what the legal position is in the spirit realm. And if you want to serve Father, you need to clean up your act, if any of this applies to you. In one case, it turned out that the woman left her covenant man, the man to whom she gave her virginity, because he was not to her liking and did not measure up to her standards religiously and in other ways. The problem is that in terms of covenant, that is not acceptable. Why do I say all this? Very simply, Yah created woman with a hymen, a thin membrane that partially covers the entrance to the vagina. In most instances, it is necessary to rupture the hymen in order to have first sexual intercourse with full penetration. When this happens, blood is generally shed. There are exceptions, particularly with older women and with women who've engaged in strenuous sports, or women who've inserted absorbent items in their vagina during menstruation, or who have used vibrators, etc. However, the fundamental principle is that Yah created women to bleed when they first have sexual intercourse with vaginal penetration. Once the hymen is ruptured, it cannot regrow, and it is therefore only possible for a woman to give her virginity and shed blood once. The hymen is therefore a form of safety seal, which evidences that a woman is a virgin. I can foresee that a lot of women who champion women's rights, etc., will accuse me of all sorts of things. I was recently called a misogynist by some woman. Folks, I'm simply setting out the legal position viewed in the court of heaven. If you don't believe in the Creator, this is absolutely irrelevant to you. You should stop listening right away. If you believe in the Creator, if you have an expectation that you will be rewarded at the end of your life, you need to pay close attention. This is critical because the shedding of blood is a fundamental component of entering into covenant. And so we see that Yah created women with the fundamental intent of women covenanting with their man, and since they can only shed blood once, of covenanting with only one man. On the other hand, males have no corresponding seal. A man can take the virginity of any number of women, and there is no evidence that he's done this. Accordingly, it is evident that Yah created men that they might covenant with more than one woman. The fact that our society, or certainly Eurocentric society, is unable to accept this, and that social and demonic programming has produced generations of Christian and Western women who cannot conceive of or tolerate the possibility of sharing their man is a harsh reality, which gives rise to a situation where it is extremely inadvisable for a man to try and enter into covenant with more than one woman, unless those women all voluntarily and willingly ask him to do this. Insofar as this article is not about the merits and fundamental reality that Yah created men to be in covenant with a number of women, I will not discuss this much further in this broadcast. There are a number of articles and several books on the website that discuss this topic in more detail. Folks, this is not some... The thing to really get here is once you have had sexual intercourse, the two of you are committed before Yah for life, unless one of you totally betrays the other. It's that simple. Don't have sex unless you intend to spend the rest of your lives together. My main point is that sexual intercourse with a virgin is a covenant act, and that whether we like it or not, at the moment that blood is shed, a covenant is entered into that is intended to be unbreakable and for life. The only basis for severance of the covenant is extreme treachery by one of the parties, which includes, but is not limited to, adultery, that is, the woman having sexual intercourse with another man. Note that consummation during menstrual flow defiles the covenant. That is not safe sex. Yah forbids intercourse during menstrual flow and for some time before and after because dead blood is involved. In practice, based on humble supplication, Yah may grant grace such that a severance of the covenant, in other words divorce, may be granted under particular circumstances, such that the woman may enter into covenant with another man through sexual intercourse in the form of ejaculation in the vagina by the man. No shedding of blood, but the semen contains all the genetic elements of blood, as well as containing salt, and so a form of blood covenant and a salt covenant are entered into. Note that these elements are also present in the covenant with a virgin. To better understand this discussion, it is important to know that the reason that there is always blood in the consummation of a covenant, whether sexually with a virgin or any other form of covenant, is that the terms of the covenant are fundamentally, if you break this covenant, you will die. See the article with that title on the website. Thus, in strict terms, the only basis for being released from a covenant is if one partner dies or commits a sin that leads to death at a level that is beyond repentance. In any situation less than this, the covenant may not be set aside by the court of heaven, even though it may be in response to humble petition. In addition to this, there are very specific terms that Yah prescribes for the covenant between a man and a woman through the shedding of the virgin's blood that can be overwritten only by agreement before the blood is shed. These terms can be understood through the example set by Yahshua and what is set out in Ephesians 5 and elsewhere. The default terms of the virgin's covenant for the man are, lead your woman closer to Yah, love her even if she beats you, flogs you, and nails you to a stake. This is, we're told, to be like Yahshua, to love like Yahshua. Treat her gently. Yahshua, you may know him as Jesus. Treat her gently and tenderly. Provide for her. Make love to her tenderly and skillfully. Accept her the way she is when you covenant with her, and do not try and change her. If she was domineering and assertive before consummation, do not try and change her. If you don't like it, don't join to her. Comply with any specific terms you may have agreed before consummation. Additional terms are not necessary, but you can agree anything that both of you want to, as long as it's sensible and practical and enforceable. The previous terms apply unless you contract out before consummation. Most women today would want their man to agree to monogamy. The default terms do not include monogamy. They include polygyny, more than one woman with one man. It is important to be absolutely clear on this point before consummation. If he is having sex with other women when he consummates with you, do not be surprised when he continues to do this subsequently, and you will have no basis to complain unless you covenanted exclusive monogamy. And finally, term of the covenant, break this covenant and you will die. Folks, I understand that some of what I'm saying here is probably going to be unpalatable to a lot of people. Say again what I said a few minutes ago. Yah is not unjust. He didn't make these rules in order to oppress us or deny our humanity or sexuality. They seem difficult, they may seem oppressive, they may seem anti-feministic, they may be seen as misogynistic, whatever, because we don't know how to live life today the way Father intended us to live. The covenant relationship between a man and a woman is a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. Man can give his covering to the woman, and she will experience that spiritually. She will feel his covering. And if she's under his covering, the forces of darkness can't touch her. This is so powerful. It's just not the way we live. But it's no good looking at the way unbelievers see things. The model for this is how people who truly believe, who are truly close to Father, live their lives. I say again, if you're an unbeliever, you're wasting your time listening to this broadcast, quite frankly. You're just going to get offended with me, and I'd rather you didn't. It doesn't apply to you, so don't worry about it. You can go and dominate your man. You can be whatever you want to be. You don't have to do any of these things. It just doesn't apply to you. The default terms of the Virgin's Covenant for the woman: follow your man wherever he goes and promote him towards Yah. Love him and submit to him in everything, even if he requires you to be beaten, flogged, and nailed to a stake. Same verse of Yeshua: love as Yeshua loved. Honor and adore him, support him and work with him in all his endeavors. Bear his children and raise them. Make love to him passionately and skillfully. Keep yourself to him only sexually. Accept him the way he is when you covenant with him, and do not try and change him. If he was getting drunk every night when you consummated, accept that he will be drunk every night after you consummate. Comply with any specific terms you may have agreed before consummation. Additional terms are not necessary. The previous terms apply unless you contract out before consummation. Break this covenant and you will die. So you can be a believer, and you don't have to do any of these things, provided that before you consummate, you agree with one another that you will not do that thing, or you will do some other thing. So if you don't want to honor and adore him, just agree before you consummate, I'm not going to honor and adore you. If you don't want to submit to him, just say to him before you consummate, I'm not going to submit to you. And as long as he agrees, go ahead and consummate, and then you don't have to do any of these things. Notice that there is no way out, no way to say but he, but she. Once you've entered into covenant, you are in it literally until death do us part, be it physical death or be it spiritual death. Over the years, I've heard all sorts of exclamations about how unjust this is. Fact is, it is only unjust because we've been lied to comprehensively, and you just thought you were having a good time because you loved or lusted after one another. If you had known the truth, it is likely that most men and women would not have taken and given virginity nearly so easily, and mostly not to the person that they did. If you understand covenant, you will make absolutely certain before you engage in sexual intercourse, You will evaluate the other party and establish exactly what they stand for and what they believe. You agree any terms he considers important and she considers important. You will exclude any of the terms above you do not agree with. Understand that you accept each other with all your undisclosed weaknesses, addictions, vices, etc. So pray and make sure that you are certain this is Yah's leading before you consummate. If you want to reverse roles and have her lead, you're at liberty to do that, provided you agree it before you consummate. If you want to serve Satan instead of Yah, you're free to agree that before you consummate. But if she wants to serve Yah and he wants to serve Satan, and you do not discuss it, then it is his covenant right to expect submission. And if he beats her and torments her and forces her into prostitution and to use drugs and to enter into satanic rites, he's entitled to, because those are the terms of the covenant. Submit in everything. Folks, sex is such a critical part of life. Don't do it casually. Is there a way out? Because of the lies and the lack of knowledge, Yah does grant grace in the event of humble and contrite supplication, coupled to repentance, but not always. It depends on what you knew beforehand and your circumstances after consummation. In particular, since the vast majority of women are not living with the man who took their virginity, there is a basic remedy, and I'll talk about that in a moment. I just want to make the point, folks. You can get out of a relationship that's not working if there's been a breach of covenant, and it's clear-cut breach of covenant. You can go to Father and say, Father, I covenanted with this person and they agreed such and such and they're refusing to do it, and I've asked them repeatedly and I'm asking you now to grant me a divorce. Very clean, very simple, not difficult at all. But if you just stumbled into a relationship and stumbled into consummation without clearly agreeing the terms, first of all, you are subject to the default terms that I've just discussed. So it doesn't matter what you think you wanted to agree or would have liked to agree or what your ideal marriage partner would have been. If you got into bed together in lust, in passion, in whatever, without first agreeing the contractual terms, the default terms apply, and it's fairly difficult to prove breach of those terms because they are pretty demanding terms. If you contract out of those or you contract additional terms, then you may have some way out. Father doesn't want you to be miserable for years. At the same time, he wants you to give it absolutely your best shot. So the way out for a woman, if you're a woman, contact the man who took your virginity and ask him to take you under his covering and comply with the above terms as established at the time of consummation. Preferably do this face-to-face. If not face-to-face, then in writing, and if not in writing, verbally. But note that if your attitude is wrong and you push him away, your approach will count for nothing in the court of heaven. If you do it meekly and gently and he turns you away and refuses to do right by you, you then have a basis to ask Yah for divorce, and the sin will be on the head of the man. If you cannot locate the man, make every reasonable attempt to contact him. And after you have still not been able to contact him, assisted by appropriate prayers and worldly measures like Facebook, etc., you then have a basis for divorce and to ask Yah for grace and mercy. If you're living with another man in marriage or covenant and he refuses to let you do this, the sin is upon him. He must remember that he is in adultery and will be tormented in hell for some time unless the situation is cleaned up. So it is in his interest for you to do this. That is to contact the first man in the hope the first man will decline. Once you've reached a point where Yah grants divorce, you are then in a position to pray the appropriate prayers. See the article Separation of a Man and Woman Who Were in Sexual Union, Divorce, on the website under the Men and Women page, to be presented in a subsequent broadcast. Once you've done that and cleaned up relative to all other sexual relationships, you are then free to enter covenant with your present man, or provided you do not have sex with him again, leave him. Separate discussion. But since you've been in adultery, you're not bound to him in the court of heaven. But be aware that if you've made love regularly, you will suffer massive trauma if you leave him for the wrong reasons, or even if you leave him for the right reasons, it's traumatic if you've made love a lot. Way out for a man. If you're a man, you face the reverse situation. You come to realize that you took the virginity of a woman and are responsible for her before you are until death. But she's not with you. Contact her and offer to take her under your covering. You must do this with the right attitude. If she turns your way, you have a basis for divorce. If you cannot locate her, make every reasonable effort through prayers, Facebook, etc. And if you fail, you have a basis to ask for mercy and a divorce. Once you have the divorce from Yah, apply the same prayers, etc., set out in the document referenced above. Cut one flesh bonds, etc. If you, the man, are living with another woman and she refuses to allow you to do this, contact the previous woman. The sin is upon her. She needs to understand that unless you clean up, you will spend time in hell. So, assuming she loves you, she should support you in this. If your present woman was not a virgin when you took her, you need her to go through the same process as outlined above. If you took the virginity of a number of women, you need to do this repeatedly. Folks, if you understand these principles, and you're a person who's had multiple sexual partners, you will understand how difficult this is. And if you've never had multiple sexual partners, and you've been blessed with living with a man or woman from a virgin's covenant point of view, have compassion on those who in ignorance have, to use the colloquial language, screwed around. They've got a real problem. People who take, men who take women's virginity and then discard that woman, are in serious trouble with the Almighty. After cleaning up, once you've prayed the prayers set out in the document referenced above, you can enter into a covenant with your present man or woman, either on the basis of the terms set out above or other terms you may agree. This requires cutting off all other one-flesh bonds, soul ties, and other spiritual connections, renouncing vows and promises, including inner vows, and physically cutting ties as appropriate before you enter into a new covenant. Stop communicating with the past men or women unless by prior agreement, and then only with firm resolve on your part to keep all contact to strictly arm's length as necessitated by particular situations. Note that love never dies, but you can put it aside and not give it place. The love for each individual person is in its own compartment. You can pray for the compartment to be sealed and never open it, and also pray for all desire for that person to be closed off. But it requires self-discipline. If you have made love to another person passionately, repeatedly, you have created love, and love never dies. If you get close to that person, no matter how many years later, the attraction, the love can surface unless you are very disciplined. So as a general principle, preferable not to continue to see and have contact with past sexual partners, particularly sexual partners that you had regular sex with. If it's necessary because it's a former wife or husband and children are involved, then so be it. But be separate and be disciplined without being ugly. Note that if the woman is legally married to another man with a divorce pending, even if she has separated and all the relevant prayers have been prayed, the forces of darkness will still secure a judgment for adultery. So it is necessary for the woman to be legally divorced before consummation. To enter into a new covenant, you should take the bread and wine and pray over the covenant meal and recite the agreed terms. See other documents referenced on the website. Be aware that sexual intercourse with ejaculation by the male in the vagina of the female introduces a covenant, albeit weaker than that resulting from the virgin's blood, unless it is reinforced by taking the blood and wine of the covenant of Yeshua, in which case the covenant is of the same strength. If you do not agree, explicit terms, the terms set out above, will apply. Folks, you may look at this and listen to this and say, well, this is really complicated and why should I worry about it? Remember that this whole program, this whole series of broadcasts over the last year and a half is about how to get close to Father. If you want to get close to Father, you need to clean this up. You can't be in adultery. You can't be in strife and division and expect to get close to Father. That said, if you are married to an unbeliever, it's an automatic divorce. Father will grant you divorce. By all means, do the best you can to get the partner to convert. But if they will not convert, then you have a basis for divorce. There's no question about it. Absolute. Father does not want a believer joined to an unbeliever under any circumstances, whether there are children or not. This is not about all the other stuff we hear about in our world. Notice that covenant is a tough, no-nonsense contract. It is possible for any man and any woman to be attracted and fall in love, and it is possible for them to fall out of love. It is possible for them to have good sex, even if they're from totally different backgrounds. But if they do not take account of the standard covenant terms, make them explicit in the search for a life partner, and negotiate firmly before consummation, they are likely to make a serious mistake. The reason most marriages fail is because they started out on the wrong foot, with no knowledge of the covenant, and from day one they have been breaking the default terms at some level. And most of the terms, she was not a virgin. So everything is messed up and defiled. There is only one answer. Clean up. Do the necessary hard yards. Pray the necessary prayers. Have the tough conversations. And then consummate properly. Folks, if you've gone through life up to today with a casual attitude to sex, that it's a recreational thing that you can do anytime you like, with anyone you like, whenever you feel like it, I'm advising you that you need to stop that right now. You need to clean up your act. You need to do all the things that I'm talking about here and all the things that I talk about in the article about cutting ties with and divorce. Folks, this is huge. Almost the entire population of the world is in breach of these terms. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim. The world is such a mess. Then some added complexity, the Isaiah 4:1 factor. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 suggests that in this age there will be 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers, which is indeed the case in Western society. However, Isaiah's solution of 7 women covenanting with one man is not possible in Western society. The women cannot and will not share, and the men cannot cope. I know. I tried it in 2009 and 2010 at Father's request and failed miserably and painfully, and until I asked Father to allow me to enter into a monogamous covenant. Reality, therefore, is that most believing women are better off single, since they are simply not nearly sufficiently genuine, since there are simply not nearly sufficient genuine believing men to go around. See the articles on the website. That said, it is vital to understand that if you are a man, you are created to be able to covenant with more than one woman. So unless you keep your eyes, mind, and heart closely focused on your woman, you will sooner or later find another woman who attracts you. At that point, you have a choice. If you have a monogamous covenant, keep it or break it, and in the process, break your woman and be found wanting on the day of your judgment. It is also important to understand that any man and any woman can be attracted, and if you use worldly criteria, it will always be possible to find another who appears to be better than your current partner. Again, once you understand covenant, you should not allow such attractions or close working relationships to even begin to get out of hand. If you treat your partner badly, they are much more likely to fall for another. So obey the covenant and treat them well. It's not about falling in love. It's about keeping covenant. So to close today, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Yah, the Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? I doubt it. He says there's almost no one on the earth today who is His friend. Everybody's compromising. Everybody's taking shortcuts. Almost nobody understands what's really required to be His friend. He may be your friend. That's not the point. He is by nature friendly towards those who serve Him at some level. The question is, are you His friend? Have you laid down your life sufficiently? Have you cleaned up your life sufficiently? Do you keep all of the Ten Commandments? Do you only worship Him alone? Do you strictly not worship the Bible? Do you not worship Jesus, Yeshua? Do you use His name accurately and correctly? Do you observe His Sabbath scrupulously? And so on and so forth. No lies, no coveting, no lust, and so forth. If you are, you're going somewhere with Him. If you're not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. To wrap up, 5 key documents on the main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All of these are on the main menu. They're also behind the home tab at the top left of the menu. They're all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. The transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Please email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, there's over 1,000 web pages there, over 1,000 articles, huge amount of information. The books run to 9,000 pages. There are answers there to a lot of questions. If you're looking for anointed and inspired reading, this is a place you can go. To close, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone, so that I can help you with your journey, or WhatsApp for that matter. I hope to connect with you again next week. when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I want to stress to you, it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, how young you are, how tall you are, how short you are, what race you are, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or not educated, whether you're black or white or yellow or blonde or dark-haired, it doesn't matter. Forget all the stuff that you've been told about the chosen race and the chosen people. And yes, there are people, groups that have been favored because they have been closer to Father. But in this age, it is open to you, whoever you are, to have a close personal relationship with Him. It's up to you. Take the decision, pray the prayers, visit the website, read the articles I've just spoken about, especially the one about seven components of drawing close, and set out on a journey. And I would love to help you. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands.